Welcome to another episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast, hosted by Matt Christopher and Dan Adler. Settle in, listen, and learn what drives them to share their knowledge and experiences with the hope it gets you thinking about a different perspective on life. Over to you, Matt and Dan.
Matt, it's the 13th, Monday the 13th of January, 2025. Hello.
How are you, my friend?
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. And welcome, everybody.
G'day. This is the episode that we've agreed to deep dive and discover the strategic positioning for our podcast, the why, the how, the what, who we are, who we're not, who we are hopefully connecting with, and what's driving us to want to do this, and what we hope for people to get out of our podcast. We're still learning. We're putting ourselves out there, aren't we? We're trying new things. We're learning new devices. Here we are with a podcast system that we got off Facebook Marketplace, let's be honest. And we're still finding our feet on how to use this technology. I run an advertising agency called Next Thursday, and this is what I do for a living, which is doing deep dive workshops. I normally host them over 4 hours, and the first half is all about you, and the second half is all about the customer who's you're selling to or marketing to. So it's easy for me to talk a lot about doing deep dive discovery workshops, but it would be awesome for you and I to, on this podcast, is to deep dive on our why, our positioning. Why should anyone listen to our podcast? What type of people are we wanting to attract to our podcast? And what makes it different from anything else that's out there on the market? Does that sound fair?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we both want to bring to the table is honesty and transparency and good sense of humour. But also, for me, being an educator and being a trainer and also a coach, it's really important, I think, starting off that sort of foundational stuff is by being vulnerable. I think really that is, and I think the idea of us doing this podcast came pretty much on the spur of the moment and very organically to put down our thoughts and our views and philosophies on life, business, and...
Just dive deep into that for a second. Sure. For those people that don't know you, tell us, just in a few minutes, tell us your background, who you are, what you specialised in, how you've got to this point here today. Who is Matt?
So I've spent probably the last, I'd say probably 10 years in the training space, and I mean training organisation, so a very formal training environment, whether it's project management, for instance. And then from a side project, I was doing coaching, but more professional development side of things, studied psychotherapy. Studied Gestalt therapy. Been working in that space for a long time. So what I bring to the table, I think, in many ways, is working at the coalface, people entering, whether it's entering into a career, I suppose, of leaving high school and going into a career. And then also dealing with people, for instance, who have been long-term unemployed and actually getting them the foundational skills so they can be employable. And then on the other side of the psychotherapy side of things and the coaching side of things, dealing with often professional people who are in positions of authority, I suppose, or power, and yet they're probably a little bit lost. You know, they've got all the tools that they think that they're meant to have, but there's just a little bit missing. So that in itself, those both polarities of the people coming into a career and those who are established and both sides of the people are frightened, a little bit lost, needing a little bit of guidance and help. So pretty much I've been in that educational space for a very long time. And may I say before that I ran my own businesses as well, so it's not just theoretical.
Well, just on that, you're a painter by trade.
I was, yes. I was a trader. Started off, yes. And then I went into property developing with my family, with my brothers. And I learnt a lot over those years, understanding what it means to raise capital, understanding project management, which I studied, and then understanding or trying to understand the cyclical nature of the construction industry and what it's like to be in an optimistic community, and then in a pessimistic market. So, you know, that's all, you know, I'd like to think in my 50s that I've learnt a little bit, and that's dealing with uncertainty in many ways, trying to make sense of things at times. Pretty hard to put a ruler across sentiment, I think, in many ways, and I think we're, without jumping ahead, I think we're in those times now where it's a little bit hard to know where we're going, I think. So
a lot of people feel the same way. So I just want to dive deeper into prior to you becoming a painter, prior to you becoming a passionate learner of the mind, body, mind, spirit,
yep.
and why things make you feel a certain way, whether it's fear or emotional in some way. There was something that drove you, and I don't know what drives me to be here today to record this podcast, but for you, what was it that made you think, you know what, I need to share my knowledge? Whether it was like the painting industry, the renovation industry, the property development industry, there's a point where you were passionate about learning a lot, but then sharing it, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, there was a couple of big issues. For me, being from a non-English speaking background, my family is Greek, and they're migrants and came to Australia, and it was a real struggle for them. In many ways, I felt that we didn't necessarily know the way, sort of the lay of the land, so to speak. You really needed, there wasn't someone to mentor you, and migrants often find that. And so you're sort of reinventing the wheel all the time. And you've really got to find out sometimes the real hard way. So that was number one. I think ultimately when I became successful in my own way, I never forgot the struggle to get knowledge. You know, it was never handed to me. And later on, I never wanted to keep that those learnings to myself because they're not really mine, you know. I always felt that what I had learnt, my experience, should be shared. It wasn't a deficit to me to share it. Even before I was in the teaching space, I was always willing to share whatever learnings I had with my friends, and they appreciated that. They shared with me, so I would always sort of build a community of people who were interested in lifting each other up.
Good teachers change the world. But I just want to touch on that because, you know, you come from the migrant background, yes. and, you know, sometimes you're spinning the wheels and you're not getting traction and you feel like as though, and I'm putting words in your mouth now because I know what it was like for me. I didn't have parents that were educated, understanding the fast track way to be successful. As much as we are successful as a family with love and connection, yes, tick all those boxes. We're still here today and we're a lovely family and I love my mum and dad and equally with my wife and kids, we're all, you know, very tight-knit. However, as a boy growing up, as a man going through university, as now a father who's raised kids, I wish I knew some things that were either passed down through secret societies or they were kept to the people that had riches, or there was old money and there was tricks to the trade. It wasn't what you know, it's who you know. And it's those backdoor passes that people got that gave them huge leaps and bounds in life to be more successful. That I know for me, what drives me is that passion to share anything I know with other people so that they can succeed more so than me, because I wish other people would have done the same for me, is to share that knowledge. And I don't know whether or not that's my personal issue with it growing up. I just wasn't aware of it. These were the days before YouTube, before you had the University of YouTube, or
absolutely
you had these people that would share things on social media. For you and your family, I'm hearing that you've got a passion for sharing your knowledge when you know something and you can help someone, there's a drive within you. And hence we are here today sharing our experiences in life, but also our knowledge and learnings. But equally, this back to the framework of this conversation here today is we want to talk about who we are as people that makes us up to be Matt, Christopher and Dan Adler. Why should anyone care about who we are and what knowledge we've got to share? But I think that the point is that that's the anchor point between you and me, is that we're driven and passionate about sharing our knowledge or sharing anything about our lives to either inspire people, not necessarily to be like us, but to get them out of bed in the morning, or to, in fact, share their knowledge and be like us in some way that they can be brave enough to put themselves out there without fear of judgment and without fear of people casting us down, with the people that potentially might hate us if we're putting ourselves out there.
Mm. Yeah, I think I remember when I first met you, this guy, about many years ago now, and it was at a networking event that you had at your agency. And I remember you spoke about, I think it was unreasonable ideas or unreasonable expectations, and that really resonated with me because I believe that still today there's this prescriptive idea who's going to make it, and without getting particularly political about it, is that someone that doesn't come from the right background. It might be someone that's come from a single parent family. It might be a person that they don't have any money. They've never had any uplift in their lives, you know, for instance. Or someone that's come from, I don't know, it might be a regional centre, and that they're wanting to go from a regional centre in Queensland or Victoria, and they want to move to, you know, Sydney or Melbourne, and they want to start a thriving business there.
Well, they might have a disability.
Absolutely. All of those things, to me, it's, if you look at it, it's like, well, what I see is it's like there's these bands that we have in society. Oh, well, you should be grateful that you've got this for this, or, you know, whatever it may
Stereotypes.
Be.
Stereotypes.
Absolutely. And people can say, oh, well, it's, no, it's not true, but you go, well, where really is the help? Where's the mentors? It's easy to mentor people that have just got everything. You just need to sort of, you know, just change a few little chips on the table, so to speak. What happens when people have got, for want of a better word, disadvantages that they're, and it's systemic? Is it, are you willing to take that on? Now, to me, my family has been so generous in the way that they dealt with the community. They dealt with their friends, and they obviously wanted us to have the same sort of ethics in the way we dealt with people and to work hard. And that's something that stuck with me. But in saying, and I'm being really honest here, is working hard doesn't mean you're going to have much money. And that's something I had to chat, like there's this idea of working hard. Well, actually, when you figure out your own systems, you actually should be not working as hard, but working smarter. But I'm just saying that the generosity of spirit, first of all, I think we're aligned that way. And also it's unreasonable in many ways to, whatever it may be, especially if you're marginalised, to be truly successful. Because look, people go to... They go to private schools. They go. I never did. I know both of us never did. We're self-made people. And you're not around people with wealth or success, or if you're going to whatever you're going to finish your chosen educational path, there's not a job waiting for you. I'm just saying. So, and I see that a lot. I see people finishing university, maybe near on $100,000 debt, hex debt. They might get employment, there's no doubt about that, but it's not in their chosen field. And most will say, I don't know where to go. I don't have someone to genuinely direct me. So in a sense...
Just on that,
yep.
You've been doing some work with, is it TAFE College?
Yes, yes, I have. That's correct. Yep, yes.
Queensland Government.
Yes.
Using your skill and experience with painting, Yep. You've been educating.
And construction.
And construction. Yeah. Yep. So there's a gateway, a pathway for these kids or people that are being reintroduced back into the community. Absolutely. Let's just say that.
Whether and change of careers, might I say. There's a lot of people. A lot of
good
people.
Good point to make.
Who
AI's taking their job.
Let's do it. Do we have to go to AI yet?
Can we
wait
back to
a
that?
Little bit?
We can come back to that.
No, what I wanted to say was that I'm seeing this. We've got the tree change, the seed change, but I'm seeing a lot of people that are saying, you know what, I've gone down one career path, whether it's a professional field, and they are actually going into the construction industry, which is, I mean, it's massive. And they are in their 30s, in their 40s, or so forth. And they are making choices for themselves that probably maybe 10 years ago wasn't happening.
And so besides teaching them how to be construction workers or builders or painters, there's a portion of your job where you are counsellor, therapist, big brother. You know, these guys are either coming through a phase of depression or they're phasing themselves off drugs and alcohol if they're being rehabilitated into the community, or they are going through a phase of trying to find their independence or identity in... We talked about it just a second ago before we came on air, of your job is your identity. And so they're changing their identity from being whatever they were before to now they're going to become a painter or someone in the building trade. And you're watching these people metamorphosis, if that's the right word, changing from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And you're trying to coach them through the emotional struggles with this change.
I'm fortunate that I'm involved in... Before you go into a trade, you can do these Cert 1 or Certificate 1, for instance, in construction. So it might be 14 weeks or 16 weeks, and they're intensives. And at that stage, they're being introduced to a whole range of skill sets. And then afterwards, if they like being, for instance, a carpenter, they might go off to that way, or painting or tiling or so forth, okay? But during that time, what's really important and what I'm most proud of is that the people I work with, not just me, but we have a culture where we understand that change doesn't just happen on its own. So they're changing from either one career to another, or they haven't had meaningful employment, and support unconditional sort of empathy, or dare I even say it, human love or compassion for a person. Because, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to change what you've been doing, whatever mode of thinking or behaviour, and then you're starting work, you know, let's just say at 6:30 in the morning or something like that. And you know what? There's challenges. There might be challenges at home. There might be challenge with finance or transportation. That's a very big issue. We're actually finding that people are really willing to try new things. But guess what? It's expensive having a car. It's expensive being able to pay for fuel. Cost of living is massive. So we're very fortunate that we have a group of people supporting the program. So social workers and group training organisations and RTOs and so forth, so that they will holistically help the participants. But you're really dealing not with a career, you're dealing with a human being. And I think the reason for this podcast is that I don't want to keep this skill set. I know you do that in a very nurturing way with the businesses that deal with next Thursday. It's very much as a human approach, not just the money or business. It's a human approach to those people sitting in front of you, that it matters that they succeed. That's the same way as me. I don't want to keep this a secret. I don't want to keep the learnings that we've got just for that behind closed doors approach. I believe that it, you know, borrowing from your cat's cry, it is unreasonable in many ways to really be, happy and fulfilled as a person especially with the uncertainty in the world and the pressures on people. But you know what? There's a way forward. And I think both of us are living examples of that. And hopefully we'll be able to discuss a bit more of that.
So I might just, at this point, share an observation. If anyone follows you on Facebook, they know the last few years you've lent into Facebook sharing and doing lives. You would just press the live button bravely, and within a few minutes you've got an audience, and you'd start having a conversation. Where it went, who knows? You'd have people jump on, friends from around the world, whether they're local down the street or from around the world, whether they're, you know, ex-JWs. We haven't really, you know, we won't dive into that too hardcore, but you've got a history there of people that are like you that want to feel like there's a sense of belonging there, because there's a lot of pain and passion involved in that topic. But equally, they love, from what I've seen, your bravery of just putting the camera to your face and walking down the street and having a conversation. And the point I'm making is not a lot of people have the bravery to do that.
Thank you.
And I know for a fact that I've never done a live on Facebook in my life, myself, ever.
Really? I never knew that.
Ever.
There you go. Right.
So I am one of those people. I'm talking from the other side of the fence. The first thing that comes to your mind is, will anyone clock on to watch me talk? The next thing is, holy shit, I've now got an audience. What am I going to say? Am I going to be judged? Will anything that comes out of my mouth be interesting, educational, or will I just come out like a gibbering mess and everyone laugh at me like a kid in a school with no pants on? It's like,
I like that.
That's, you know, it's that kind of nightmarish moment that I've come to school with no clothes on. Facebook will never be able to erase it. What drives me, as you know, is that I'm an oversharer. I share a lot of things because it drives me to do things that other people don't do. And I, for whatever reason, I know other human beings have either been scarred or they've been ripped off or they've shared too much and other people have taken advantage of them. I don't know what it is, but I feel a passion of sharing everything that I know because I hope it benefits other people. And one of those things that is a good example of that is my two boys. We were watching a paper plane throwing competition movie called Paper Planes, an Australian-made movie. The pure nugget of the concept was I looked at my boys and said, we could have a paper plane throwing competition down the park just for a bit of fun, father and son's connection. And I said, I could make some fake trophies. I'll spray paint them with some offcuts from my garage, and we'll give first, second, and third for the longest distance, and we'll make shit up, you know, the longest distance, longest hang time in the air, most expressive paper plane. We took it from an idea to we held that competition 3 years in a row. And we ended up with 175 kids throwing paper planes in the local AFL oval with sponsorships. The money that was raised went to RSPCA, Special Olympics Queensland, and AEIU for autism. And we had representatives from those charities come and collect the trophies. The winners of their prizes would donate the money to those causes. And we had trophies and prizes and raffles, and, you know, we took it from an idea, and I run an ideas company, so it's, I guess, relatively easy for me to see it through and execute. I wanted to teach my kids how to counter float when you do a raffle.
Great idea.
Cash. So when people bought a ticket in the raffle to win the prize for a free dinner at Montezuma's restaurant, which was the local sponsor who gave a free dinner away, my boys had to understand the concept of having a float. So at the end of the day, you took the float out and that was your core stake. And then anything above that was the raffle money. So when we had to give the money away to the charities, these are all educational experiences that, you know, I'm not saying my mum and dad didn't have the nous or the ambition. It's just that I'm seeing other parents in the community sitting comfortably, being very comfortable in their little bubble and enjoying the high times. And I don't know if it's jealousy. I think I deep dived into what drives me, and it's not a healthy thing, is the word jealousy. Comparison and jealousy are two of my biggest enemies that I need to deal with. The keeping up with the Joneses and other people being so successful when at times I'm not. The sharing of knowledge and inspiring people, and that paper plane throwing competition was a demonstration that even my dad pulled me aside on the third year, and he grabbed my elbow and he said, "Look, son, look what you've created. You've created joy. You created happiness." Another parent pulled me aside and said, "My son does not communicate or connect with any other kids in his classroom. That's him out there playing with other kids, throwing paper planes." So there's been some joys and some outcomes, some impact to the community through sharing that drives me to want to do this type of stuff, like just getting in front of a microphone and talking, that I hope that my drive, my passion, if people hear it in my voice, they go, "Holy shit, this guy is driven." At the age of 50, my hope is that what does success look like for this podcast is that we get out there and we tell our stories and we inspire people. We're not afraid for judgment, and we be more like Matt Christopher and jump in front of a Facebook Live and just start talking like we're doing right now and see where it leads. And we have a sense of connection and community that brings people together, just like the paper plane throwing competitions. That look at my kids now, they know how to shake a person's hand and look them in the eye, because I taught them that when they went to Coles to ask for a $50 gift voucher for the like the Bunning sausages as part of raising money for the raffle. And I'm not saying everyone needs to do what I do, but that's what's worked for me.
Yep.
And I didn't necessarily have that when I was growing up. And not to say, Mum, Dad, you're listening to this, you did anything wrong. It's just that I have a massive appetite for success.
Good.
Even my therapist, I've had sessions with therapists, I've had sessions with business coaches. They all go, "You finish the 100-meter running race, you win, and then you go for the 200. You win the 200, you go for the 800. And you just keep going and going without stopping and celebrating that you've actually just won the race.
Okay, that's a good insight.
It's a really interesting thing. So I've got to stop a little wins here and there and go, "You know what? You did well. Congratulations." Stop, breathe. But that's the little insights of what drives me to want to do this. Mm. And I think that word defiance, which is what I was talking about before, is anyone who tells me I can't do something, that's the best fuel.
Right.
Best fuel for me. You watch me. Even though I don't have the education experience, I don't have the connections, I haven't got the silver spoon, I didn't go to churchy, you know, but I'll find a way.
Yeah.
I'll find a way. There's that resilience.
I was thinking, going back to the YouTube, now, how it worked was, I'm very big on, we call it tribe or community. I'm really good at bringing people around me. And it was at the time, it's going back quite a few years ago, is that, you know, social media was a big thing for coaching and so forth, okay? And then I'm going to get back to this sort of apparent tuition to success. And so anyway, I started listening to these gurus, so to speak, and it was sort of like you needed the right equipment and the right lighting and the right sound, and the way you speak has to be, you know, it has to be a certain way, and the way you secret words and all of this. And I sort of thought to myself, my goodness me, by the time, and I'm really time poor, okay, I take too many projects on. I thought, by the time I buy all this special equipment and editing and do this, I'm never going to do it. And I thought, you know what, I'm a very natural, organic person. I'm going to go live, because I don't know how to edit anything. I'm just going to go live and I'm going to talk to people, because at the end of the day, and this is my simplistic view of life, is that if somebody meets me, and now this is part of my ethos, is that authenticity is you see someone, we've probably all met people like this, and you have an image of them, then you meet them in person and you think, mate, they're nothing like that at all. They're just like, whoa. And to me, it's like, if I want someone to come to my training sessions, I want them to already have a really good grasp of who I am. So I might, if I'm live and we're and I'm speaking for, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes or whatever, and it's relatively unscripted, well, that natural approach is my business card. If someone's not going to like that, they're not going to like me in person.
That's how I met you. I was doing those unreasonable business forums.
Absolutely.
And I was inviting me plus three experts in their trade every month, and we'd get up and for 20 minutes or
That's
so.
That's correct, yeah.
We'd rattle off some interesting things that they'd shared, and the crowd would ask questions. I think that was the most rewarding part of that networking forum was the Q&A.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and really that's good. Where I met you. I'm like, who's this guy in the front row asking all these passionate questions? But I think if I can just kind of put quote marks on either side, having a go and putting yourself out there and not being afraid is you, yeah. And it is me.
Yep.
And we're not afraid of failure.
No.
We're going to have a
I've done a bit of it over the years.
We're good at it.
Oh, yeah.
But we're learning a lot. But I guess we're doing it not to, we're definitely not doing it to self-harm and sabotage ourselves. We're doing it because, you know what? Life without that, without having a go and putting ourselves out there is pretty bloody mundane and boring. Absolutely. And sad. Absolutely. And we might see it in other people and to go, you know what? There's more to life than that. Life's pretty short.
Very.
And we're not afraid of putting ourselves out there and being judged and being listened to. And I think one of the questions I normally ask in these deep dive workshops is, who are we not? We certainly are not putting ourselves up on soapboxes saying, you should be like me. I certainly am not an expert on social media. Like, I'm not a Gary Vee. I'm not a Kerwin Ray. I'm not a Tony Robbins. I'm certainly not rich, you know, Grant Cardone, you know, I'm not advising you to walk in the shoes of Dan Adler or do the steps that I've taken, but I'm sharing in this podcast what drives me, what makes me who I am. And I think that's my mate, he's like, what's the connection point between Matt Christopher and Dan Adler? You know, through the Unreasonable Business Forum, Rotary International, president of the Rotary Club, you've seen my rise to being a leader in that club, yeah. And the respect.
And I was on the board too, yeah, so that was a great privilege as well.
And, you know, through all that, we've built a good bond and a good connection, and we've had so many laughs.
Yeah.
We've laughed till we've cried. I think absolutely. You fell off that chair that you were sitting on. You literally were on the floor.
I was thinking to Dan is that, to me, the way I look at it, money or the accumulation of material things, and I've done that. I have to be honest, I've done that in my life. I've been very successful. But to me, that is the byproduct of all of the other things. Now, for me, I can only speak for myself, is I never did it by myself, okay? It has been through a community of people that have resonated with me.
Mm.
So my message is I don't believe anybody that says, I did it all myself, it's all about me. I doubt it very much. There's always somebody, it could be your accountant, it could be your lawyer, it could be your therapist, it could be your whatever it may be. There's your partner, your wife, your husband, your whatever it is, the person that is standing with you, the people you employ. Very few people are a one person
band. Be yourself.
So to me, it's about I think the change in our world at the moment, and we're in flux at the moment. The old system is definitely, the old paradigm is collapsing, and I know we're not going to go into much more. But I think being centered, that's the greatest asset you can have, and daring to. I mean, as I said, I agree with you. There's no match and mirroring, as they say, I wouldn't want someone to be me. Why should they? Be themselves. Yeah. I don't have my own answers for my own life. You know, I don't believe there is any template that you follow in your life, and that means you're going to be successful. It is a work in progress. And failure is something that, as painful or difficult it is, it's the learning. So I would just... My thing is authenticity for myself, be honest, but also being willing to make changes when it doesn't align with your core values and actually do it probably sooner rather than later, to be honest with you.
Well, again, back to my job as a strategy director, chairing workshops. And in fact, I'm a keynote speaker at an event coming up talking about personal brand, which I'm a brand builder, I'm a brand strategist, and we shift people from a brand in a lane that's dysfunctional, cluttered, unfocused, lacking relevance, lacking differentiation, no one knows who you are, there's no brand equity. Shifting them to a lane that's independent, relevant, original, impactful. You're a challenger to the status quo. That's what we do, right, in our job. Yep. So I've got an opportunity to talk to people for 20 minutes or so in an upcoming keynote about personal brand. So in some ways, you're doing that with the people that you meet when they're changing from caterpillar to a butterfly. Can we just talk for a split second? Now we're going to switch. As I said before, we normally do a four-hour workshop. Half is brand, half is about who we're talking to. Because if we don't get the who we're talking to right, well, you're selling ice to Eskimos. It's the relevance of what you're selling to who you're selling to. If you don't get that right, you don't have a customer, you don't have an audience. So who is going to get something out of this podcast based on your background, my background, everything we've just kind of framed up as who we are as individuals? What are they going to learn from this? Who are the type of people that are going to resonate with this? And what do we want them to get out of it from their point of view? Talking about the customer now, not about us.
And that's great. I'm glad you sort of brought that up. To me, I have a person, I'm just giving you an insight into my mentality. I have a person in mind that shares like values. Okay, so I'm not a person, whether in my coaching, for instance, I'm talking about that professional development side of things, in which it's just a generalist approach. It's for everybody. It's not. Okay, that's not going to work for everybody. Okay, I'm looking for a certain kind of person. Three ingredients is that they have high ethics for themselves and for others. They are a part of a community. Okay, that's it. And that we are, I'm talking about the person I want to attract, is somebody that knows that their success is shared with other people, and also they get great joy in lifting other people up. Okay, that's the kind of person that I want to, you know, focus on. But so that's number one. I'm looking for a certain kind of person. And then secondly, I really love people who aren't satisfied with what they've got now. And I don't view it in a negative way. I mean it that they're not comfortable. It's not good enough for them just to have a business at one size. They want it to be bigger, or they want to, they're at a stage where they may have in their life have done things, because I'm a family man, you work really hard and so forth for your family to provide for them. But then as your children get older, things change. So people that are like, well, I've done that phase of my life and now I'm not happy with that. I want something else. And
they seem to live in a phase of discomfort. In the world of uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
And if they're comfortable with being uncomfortable, that's a really fascinating space to be in, because you can achieve some amazing breakthroughs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just talking about myself here, is that I am always trying to better myself and to improve my skills as a human being. And as I said, the byproduct of that may be money, may not be, but I see that fulfillment as a human being is, and it's not just a catch cry, but being a lifelong learner. And so a true leader in my book, it's not the only book, right, is that you lead in a way that is, it's good to be uncomfortable. It's good to put yourself under pressure. And I don't mean stress, anxiety, that's not what I mean, but that you're not going, oh, well, you know, the job's done. No, it's not done. It's but you're bringing people with you, and you're part of a wider community.
Well, I've seen you buzz at the end of the day when you ring me up and go, one of my students just came, pulled me aside and said, you were one of the best teachers, best leaders. I'm inspired. I'm dedicated to everything you've taught me, and they've achieved great outcomes and results from it. And, you know, I see Matt Christopher light up.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
Especially if you know their backgrounds, where they've come from.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. 100%. I mean, I don't like people that feel entitled. I've never felt entitled. I've had to work for everything, and I've been very grateful. And I know I'm digressing here, but last year, it's probably not the subject, but last year I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. That was just an absolute wake-up call. Of course, you were there, you know, with me as one of my true mates, true friends. I have a small group of really loyal friends, and they're always there. But, you know, I came out of that treatment, and, you know, Dan, I am grateful to be alive. I'm grateful for everything I've got. I don't assume, I don't think I should be anything unless I put the effort in, unless I'm willing to take the risk, unless I'm willing to be stone cold wrong, you know? And so when I meet people who are like, they're not sure, but they're willing to give it a go, and I'm part of that support, really the support, and back them. So if they make an effort, I want to back them, and the team around us backs them. It's such a... I feel like I've won the lotto, because they don't assume, oh, well, I just should be running my own... You can be running your own business and making really great money, right? It's a great story, but people who appreciate that every day is something they need to work on. It's not just, oh, well, I was born, so I deserve this. And that kind of personality, unfortunately, the entitled personality, that scares me, because I do see a lot of that. And life isn't fair, and no one's going to give you anything. You've got to add something to other people's lives, their businesses. Well, you know, you can't just demand something. It's earned. Respect is earned.
Can we just talk split second about I like me? If it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's drug addiction, alcohol addiction, if it's any type of blame, ego, deflection, if you're going to make any change in the world for yourself, for other people, whether it's your kids, your partner, your employees, if you're an employer, if it's going to be, it's up to me, and it starts with you liking yourself. I like me. Personally, I'm sharing, that's my theme for this year, 2025. I wake up every day with that mantra that the good, the bad, the history, all the shit that I've done, I've got to be aware of it, accept it, and be accountable for it, the three A's. It starts there. That's the cornerstone for my growth and my rebuilding every day. There's things I can't control. There's things that I can't. I fail regularly. I know I can be better. Back to your point, you always can be better. I think one of the things that I wanted to leave on this podcast is I'm dedicated to helping other people achieve amazing things. That's my purpose in life. The layer that I need to wrap around that is to do it consistently and to show up consistently in a physical, mental capacity that I can deliver consistently. And if my self-sabotaging because of my fear of the Joneses and the comparisons and the jealousy and stuff between my two ears, mental messages that are trying to sabotage myself, my ego, I think that's something that I want to share on this podcast, that I'm going through it, have been going through it for a long time, and it's been a good journey of employing therapists and psychologists and coaches for them to really point out that they can't do anything if I don't do it myself. Anyone who is going through change and wants a better version of themselves, it's an ongoing, everyday, constant maintenance. You won't get it 100% right. It's not 100% perfect. it'll never be perfect. In fact, you shouldn't strive for perfect because life's messy. But my three non-negotiable values are generosity, passion, and honesty. And I think that this podcast kind of reveals that. It's honesty. It's that realness. It's genuineness and being transparent. It's the generosity of sharing. Back to my point of I wish other people taught me things that I wish I could have learnt quicker if they just showed me. If they taught me the tricks to the trade. If there was a back door and I could get from A to B faster, well, that would have been really helpful. Thank you very much. Right. Rather than keep it a secret because they kept it a secret because they were entitled. And then passion. If I don't see passion in other people, I can't do business with them. I can't employ them. If they're a 6 out of 10 type person, I just, you know me. If I'm in on something, I'm 100% in.
Yeah, that's
if
right.
If I'm going to put my signature on something, paper plane throwing competition or whatever.
Yeah.
Teaching my kids things, I am all in. And I think everyone who's been following my journey on Facebook can see I've dedicated my life to raising my two beautiful boys and I'm proud of that and doing everything I can to be the best father I can. And whilst I'm not as perfect as some other parents maybe, but I don't have riches that I can bestow upon them. But I think equally the lessons they've learnt through watching me being an employer of over 60 staff, yeah, over the last 13 years and the highs and lows of running a small business with COVID and downsizing and working from home and all the challenges, you know, turning over $3.5 million a year to as low as $600,000 a year, the highs and lows of the industry, it's scary. And I've had to deal with it. I'm still learning about how to manage that. But that's my story. And that honesty, passion and generosity, if only I get that from other people, back to your point, who am I looking for? Who am I selling to? If I can see though that in other people, that they too take on board what I'm sharing through their honesty and they're not afraid and they go and share that, I think that's what connected me to you is your honesty, your generosity and your passion. They're your three things that connected with me. And I went, you know what? I could do this podcast with you. You know, when you first came to me with the idea, we need to buy some podcast equipment and
it all
sit down and talk.
Quickly.
Well, you know, it made sense to me for no reason because I just went, you know, we talked for so long at great lengths on, you know, phone calls. Why not put this stuff
share
down?
Share it with people.
And share it. And hopefully it inspires other people. But that's my audience that I'm looking for, honesty, generosity and passion.
I learned, Dan, and my shortfall, and I think, and I know that people are, and I use that word a lot, but self-made, very much what you're saying. We, and I'm talking about myself here, after dealing with a really critical illness last year, is I realised that while I was of service to other people, whether it was the Rotary Club, whether whatever I do, I give 100%. Okay, and that comes back to me. It does. I can say that having a good reputation, getting outcomes for people, which is wonderful on all fronts. But one thing that I realised was a real deficit that in 2025 I need to address is that I literally did not know how to ask for help. I didn't know. It might sound stupid, but because you're, oh, well, if I want to learn about this, I'll go to the seminar. You know, like if I want to learn about, for instance, let's say advertising, I went there. I didn't expect you to come to me. I would go. If I want to, there was a person, a psychotherapist that I wanted to study with. I searched on the internet. I found his number. I took a plane flight. I took a train, literally a train, a bus, got accommodation, went to this small beachside community in New South Wales to attend. So I'll just do it. That's me. If I want something, I chase after it. But you know what? I am not good at asking for help in our relationship, right? I don't go, oh, Dan, I want. I don't do that. I'm not saying that it should be that way, but I need, and I think there's other people that will really understand what I mean, is that you don't have to do it on your own. Like you can say, could you help me with X? Could you help me with that? Like, and I, being honest, I would feel guilty as if I was like, I'm happy to give. I'm happy to be a part of something, a collaboration, a team, to put in money, all that stuff. But to actually ask and do it in reverse, I would feel guilty. And I'm like, well, no, that's, there's other people that are just like me. They're willing to help in many different, it can be small things. And that's something I need to do for myself, is to actually ask for help if I'm feeling, you know, there's many people willing to help in my trusted circle that would also bend over backwards for me. So that's something I need to learn to delegate things and not carry it all when no one's expecting me to do that.
Well, on that point, it's an interesting phase of life that we're all living through right now, where the University of YouTube, you just have to type in, how do I create an emoji in a subject line on an email, and all of a sudden someone's recorded a video on how to do that. It's command apple spacebar creates an emoji in the subject line. Now, I didn't know that, but I just learnt that this week, so that's how I remember it, right? But whether it's anything at all, there's an expert out there that is, that's captured it and is eager to share that. The interesting point with that is that we're getting advice from all walks of life. Let's just say any country, any age group, someone has either been taught it or they've learnt it or they've done the smart thing of work out where the fish are biting, where the demand's coming from, and worked out, well, everyone wants to know how to make an emoji in a subject line in an email because they're doing email marketing. And that's something that we should create a little 2-minute video on. And what they're secretly doing in the background is creating that because that's where demand is, and that's where they're making the advertising revenue through YouTube.
Right.
It's the same as Amazon. What people are selling on Amazon is whatever people are buying. It's the market. It's the good old black market of where the demand is, well, we'll supply it. And that's fundamentally whatever, it's relevance and differentiation, that if someone's searching for it, they'll sell it. I guess the point I'm making is that it's taken me 13 years of running my own business and 30 years of being a suit of an advertising agency where constantly people were telling me, you're a gun suit, you're a gun, you're a gun, for me to believe that I've got a position to be able to share stuff that is of value, that is credible. The fraud squad, thinking that you're not worthy of sharing, is equally as confronting for you and I. Well, I don't know if it's for you, but it is for me. Of putting a microphone in front of my face and sharing my thoughts, it's taken a long time for me to feel like as though, you know what, I do have a lot of experience that I can share. And it feels contradictory to everything I've said before, but being a public speaker and putting something out there that someone's going to listen to, that they think, you know what, I'm like that too. I'm the same as you. And I feel the same fears and I feel the same barriers that force me to stop me from going forward and putting myself out there. But I think what impressed me with your Facebook Lives, Matt, is you've gone out there and said, you know what, it's me, I'm being authentic, I'm being real, I'm being transparent, and I'm not afraid. And, you know, for all the shit you went through with the JW movement, I think that you've stood up to that and you've risen above it. And you've gone, you know what, if you don't accept me, that's fine. But if you do, and you want to lean in to who the Matt Christopher Project is, the Joe Rogan Experience, there are people that, you know, a percentage of people that will engage with your story and your transparency and your genuineness, and they'll love it and embrace it. And it's okay that you respect other people. Don't hate them for it, but having compassion. As other people, you can't be 100% popular to everyone.
No.
So it's okay to be different. You know, I use the words, I'm allergic to stereotypes.
Oh, so am I.
And I think we come from a mixed bag background. We don't expect to put ourselves in pigeonholes or compartmentalize that we should be. Like I said, we don't try and follow in our footsteps. Everyone, just be yourself. Just be yourself. Mm. You're yourself.
Yep.
I'm myself. And it's taken a while for me to embrace who I myself is. And value myself as opposed to thinking that I'm putting on some pony show, whatever they're called, dog and pony show, pretending to be something that I'm not. After all the years I've been doing it, I don't know any other way. I get on a video call, I get on a phone call, I get into a meeting with a CEO and an hour whizzes by and I blink and it's been the best hour that they've had in a long time. They just send me a message going, that was freaking awesome. We get the deal and we move on and we enjoy the process. It's not work anymore. It's a joy to do what I do. But it comes back to that point of being yourself and being comfortable with yourself, but also at the same time being comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yep.
In that discomfort of pushing yourself every day, that becomes your new normal. And I think when we become lazy in these periods in time over holidays and whatnot, we've just finished Christmas, where I found myself running out of things to do. I've cleaned the fridge, I've washed all the bathrooms, I've whippersnipped and cleaned the, you know, I've cleaned the car, I've done everything. And I've got to tell myself it's okay to have some downtime because you're needed on the other side of Christmas to go big, because last year was big and we need you to come out of the gates hard and fast and we need you to be sustainable. One of my mantras this year is sustainability. Get through this year.
We're going to put solar panels on your phone.
Mate, it's like the year that we've got stacked. Like last week was surprisingly busy. This week is already, it's day one. It's the 13th of January. And already Monday was like, holy shit, yeah. This is already busy. There's things coming out of the woodwork. So health is important. Mm. Back to your point with prostate and looking after yourself. You know, diet. You know, family, those pillars that make you survive, get through month after month, so important.
I think also one of the takeaways one of the things I'd like people to take away from this is that I view other people as other humans. So I don't look at a person as a bank balance. I don't look at them as a position in a business. To me, that's just a responsibility. I mean, that's a good thing. Education or a person's education, or that's a good thing that they've disciplined themselves to be able to sit in front of, you know, a lecturer, and they've been able to remember enough of the information and take it on or to regurgitate it at some point. That's great. They're all good things, but we're just humans. So I think it's people get starstruck, they walk into a boardroom if they are in that situation and they feel very intimidated when I don't, because I just see another human being. And that's something, and I talk to people as human beings. And if someone doesn't like that, for instance, if there's a special way I've got to talk to them or approach them as if they're not another human being going through whatever this experience is, we're probably not going to get along. Okay, that's not someone I want to do business with. I don't believe I'm an actor on a stage. You know, if I can't say hello to somebody and shake somebody's hand and look at them in the eyes, and if I can't ask them how their day's been, and that's all a big bother, we're probably not going to do very well in business. Okay, I'm not willing to sacrifice that very basic human approach. So my point is, just imagine everybody brushing their teeth in the morning. You know, having their breakfast like everybody else, getting in their car like everybody else. This is my view of being intimidated by people. And being uncomfortable is if someone says to you, why don't you know such and such, and that's not your, you know, that's not your area of expertise, then the answer is I don't know, because I don't know. Why don't you know?
Well, I say that in each deep dive workshop at the start. If you don't know the answer, say, I don't know. And then we write that up as an action point. It's not questions and answers. It's questions and actions.
I like it.
And we then go about our research to try and find the answer. The worst thing to do would be to create an answer out of fiction that sends someone down the wrong path. We're getting to the end of our podcast, Matt.
Certainly are, mate.
What might be some of the topics that we cover off in future episodes if you were just kind of like popcorn chicken?
I love popcorn chicken. I really want to talk about AI and the impact on the human experience, what that means. And I know that, putting it into very basic terms, that AI is meant to be a labor-saving device, to put it that way, or human human resource labour saving in that regard. But I think there is some genuine challenges that I am seeing emerging, and I don't know whether we're, how can I say, prepared for the human impact
we're
of
not
this.
Ready.
Yeah, well, there you go. So that would be one. And then secondly would be the change that I see in the world at the moment, which is about the projection of power and what does that mean. Because, yeah, I'm talking probably about the humanist experience, but is that what we're facing, you know, with the rise of the billionaires and soon to be trillionaires and the centralizing of power? How do we navigate that as individuals or business?
Do we promise a safety blanket or some type of sleep easy at night comfort podcast or steps that they can take to move forward? Even though, like we said at the start, I don't want to be that person that says, hey, follow me like a cult. We are not that. But, you know, what's the takeaway?
I don't like neatly packaged situation where, you know, if you would, you know, follow these five easy steps, you'll get to this destination. I just don't believe. I mean, I don't know. I think after the experience of COVID, everything can change in a minute. Life has always been very unpredictable. So I don't think having these neat takeaways to go, well, okay, if you do these three things, five things, things are going to be so much better. But what I do think is I hope we bring awareness to a subject and pull it apart and then say, well, look, this is how I'm just being honest here, how I've dealt with this situation, whether I failed at it or not. And from that, hopefully, people go, you know what, if Matt was experiencing that and he went down that road, well, I thought about that, but maybe I would do it this way. Or Dan's been very successful here. Yeah, I like a bit of it, but I might change it. So I think leaving as much open to people to go, these guys are really pulling apart a subject. And
we're open to feedback. Oh,
absolutely, for sure.
If 100%. Other people have ideas and suggestions and tricks and tips, like we've been saying, I just wish people have told me the best way to go from A to B. If anyone out there who listens to this says, hey, by the way, guys, you've been knocking on the wrong door, you should be knocking over there and it'll take you to a different pathway to the milk and honey. You know,
I'm not going to have to sign up to some, like, You program or something, am I? I know someone's going to...
That's what's been missing from the podcast is your sarcasm. The agreeable podcast. We don't have a name for this
not
podcast.
Agreeable podcast.
We don't want to offend anyone. Well, there's the sarcasm. Well, there's going to be people that don't agree with us, and that's fine. If you don't agree with us, that's cool. We won't hate you. You go and do something else with your time and your life. But here we are. We're signing off on this podcast. It's been a good... I don't know how long, it feels like an hour. But thanks, Matt.
Thank you very much, Dan. I look forward
to diving deep into some of those rabbit holes and some buckets of themes and topics. So that note, on that bombshell, we're going to say good night.
Good night, everyone.
And Happy New Year.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the No Time to Be Offended podcast. To follow us, like and subscribe. And you'll find more content on all popular social media platforms. Search No Time to Be Offended. Stay tuned for the next episode. Until then, we hope you get the best out of your life.